You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, episode 18. We are previewing the Memorial Cup tournament, updating the AHL playoffs, and chatting with Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to episode 18 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show. I am with my co-host, Peter Harling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com. Peter, I'm not burying the lead here. What's the big announcement that was tweeted from our DPR show?
All right. I'm really excited about the upcoming NHL draft, Paul, because you and I have both been granted media credentials through Dauber Prospects, and we will be at the NHL draft getting all kinds of amazing behind-the-scenes interviews, anecdotes, analysis, and insights from the NHL community that we'll be able to put together for a couple of special edition podcasts from the draft floor. So really looking forward to being able to bring that to the show.
Yeah, we talked about it off air just before we started recording tonight, and we were just so excited we didn't know where we wanted to go with it, and if we wanted to do a live stream or if we wanted to just take player clips or if we wanted to talk to some GMs, but we don't even know what we want to do. We're going to really brainstorm in the next month to come up with the best way to go about this and the best way for you, the listeners, to get information from the NHL draft that we're going to be at. It's my first time going to the NHL draft. I know you went last year, Peter, and the stories you came back with, you were just so excited about this NHL draft, and that's what got me so much more excited when Dauber came to us and said he got us media credentials, and I words can't even explain. I'm just so excited for this Chicago trip to get to the NHL draft.
Yeah, if listeners have anything in particular that they think they want us, subjects they want us to broach, or interviews with any specific GMs or media people, or fantasy questions that you would have for about prospects, or any of the trades that are going to lead up to the draft, because there is going to be a whirlwind of activity with the expansion draft and all kinds of trades, and free agency is right around the corner from there, so there'll be some posturing. There's always blockbuster trades at the draft, so we'll have a lot of information that we'll need to basically to be an organic form of collecting information and interviews. Will be reacting to situations as they develop. But yeah, if the listeners out there, you the listener, you have things you want us to look for at the draft, please feel free to tweet that at us @DPR_show, and we'll do our best to come up, do the digging, and get the answers that you're looking for.
Yeah, and we're open to pretty much anything, because we kind of have some written down ideas that we want to do to the for the podcast, but we're open to hearing what you guys think, so please make sure to reach out to us at @DPR_show. All right, Peter, let's get into this show. We're going to be starting off with the AHL playoffs. Round two is wrapping up on Wednesday night. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's see. You've been doing a really good job of staying on top of all of the playoffs with updating your Twitter feed with the daily bracket. So I kind of wanted to ask you a little bit about some players that are still going. There's a couple players in Grand Rapids that I'm really interested in hearing what your take is on. Let's start with Tyler Bertuzzi.
Tyler Bertuzzi is a playoff dream. He tears it up in the playoffs. He's a half point per game in the AHL the past 2 years. But in the playoffs, last year, 8 points, 9 games played. This year, 10 points, 8 games played. The Grand Rapids Griffins look like a Calder Cup championship team. They're going to go up against the San Jose Barracuda in the next round. It's going to be a tough task. We're going to talk about a Barracuda later. But Tyler Bertuzzi, I don't know how good it's going to be that he's a playoff monster, because in fantasy, you don't really need a playoff monster. You don't really, as soon as the playoffs start, we kind of forget about our fantasy numbers and just watch playoffs, and then as soon as playoffs are done, we're like, all right, back into fantasy. So I don't know how much Bertuzzi's going to transition his playoff year this year to next year's regular season. He's not going to be a point per game guy, so don't expect that. I think expect closer to his half point per game totals.
Yeah, I agree. I would say that his playoff performance will probably improve his potential of getting a roster spot. It'll have the attention of the organization for sure, that he's a dependable player. He's a money player. He's a clutch player. But he's only 23% Fantrax owned. So I think, yeah, his playoff performance should get him a shot at the NHL, but you shouldn't expect playoff version Bertuzzi so much as regular season version Bertuzzi. And yeah, also lots of hits and penalty minutes as well to go along with that pile. Another player on Grand Rapids is Svechnikov. His younger brother is coming up in the draft in 2018, but the older, already Detroit-drafted Svechnikov is having a pretty impressive playoff with Grand Rapids. Let's hear a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's got 9 points in those 8 games played that the Grand Rapids, they swept both their games, so obviously the Grand Rapids Griffins are looking good. But Svechnikov is definitely helping carry that offensive punch that the Grand Rapids are bringing. I really hope this kid makes the NHL next year. He's 205 pounds, 6'3". He's built for the NHL. He's 19th overall last year in, or 2015 first round for the Detroit Red Wings. They like the Russian big kids, so I'm pretty sure he's going to be dual eligible when he does make it into the big dance, so that's definitely going to help his stock out as well. So I would watch out for Svechnikov.
Yeah, he's widely owned in, on Fantrax leagues at 85%, so chances of picking him up for free aren't very, very high. But what do you think, pitching on the spot, what do you think the chances are he cracks the Detroit roster in the near future?
I think he's definitely going to get more than a cup of coffee this coming year.
They need some youth, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. And Zetterberg's only getting older, and they lost Pavel Datsyuk a couple years ago, so they need this influx of young guys, and Bertuzzi and Svechnikov look like those are the two main guys that are going to be coming up in from the farm team.
All right, let's switch gears and let's go to California. Leading scorer in the AHL is Ryan Carpenter. Our San Jose writer Zach Devine has been tooting this guy's horn a little bit. Let's toot it a little louder on the podcast. Let's talk about Ryan Carpenter with the Barracuda.
Yeah, 1.3 points per game, 13 points in 10 games played, 7 goals, 6 assists. He's leading the way, like you said. Ryan Carpenter is a right winger. I'm pretty sure he's going to be a San Jose Shark next year. He's doing everything right in the AHL, and that usually leads to prospects from the AHL bump up into the NHL, because when they dominate in the AHL, he's got no more room to grow in the AHL. So I'm pretty sure Ryan Carpenter is going to be that Shark rookie next year.
He'll have some competition with San Jose. They actually have a pretty good prospect pool to go along with a pretty good NHL roster. He'll be competing with forwards like Kevin LeBlanc, Timo Meier, Rook Chartier. What do you think the chances are of him seeing some NHL time? Good?
I think it's pretty good. I think the other guys are more high-end talent, so I don't think the Sharks have that top six spot available just yet for the Timo Meier and the Kevin LeBlanc, so maybe they move those guys down in the third line. But I think Ryan Carpenter is going to be a third line, could move up to a second line eventually, but I think he's going to jump into the NHL as a third line guy and be able to produce points from the third line right away.
Yeah, and he is only 8% Fantrax owned, so there is a tremendous amount of opportunity to acquire a player like this. He's 26 years old as well, so you know he's not a teenager, so he should be a little bit more all around and seasoned. And he's got decent size. So, yeah, that could be a really good, sneaky ad in your fantasy leagues. Okay, let's come back out east. Here's a little enigma of a player. Washington Capitals top prospect, Jakub Vrána. What's going on with him?
Yeah, we got him ranked number one in DauberProspects.com. So everybody's got their eyes on this kid. He got healthy scratched at the beginning of the second round against Providence. And then he went from the doghouse to the infirmary, and he ended up getting injured, and now he's out with an injury. So it's not looking too great. He's not ending on a very high note for this season. Hopefully the Hershey Bears move on to the Eastern Conference Finals, and he can get back into the lineup and and keep producing, because his regular season was pretty decent when he was in the AHL, 36 points in 49 games. His playoffs, not so well. I think he wants to forget about these playoffs. 0 points in 6 games played. That's something that you shouldn't expect from Jacob Vrana. He is going to be a point producer. He played 21 games this past year for the Capitals. 6 points, 3 goals, 3 assists. There's got to be a change, a rollover for the Capitals coming in next year or the year after, in the near future. And Vrana is going to be that rollover that you're going to see him get some significant minutes.
Yeah, after the Washington Capitals failing in the playoffs again to a heavily depleted Pittsburgh roster, a lot of people are hitting the blow it up button. You got to think that a player like Vrana would be on the radar to come up. And he's also too good to be playing this poorly. So I wonder if he hasn't been injured on those healthy scratches. Maybe he's been playing through an injury. Maybe he just has a low pain threshold. I have no idea. I'm just speculating. But his body of work, minus the end of the season, has been pretty exemplary. And so for him to be underperforming now is peculiar. And he is 92% Fantrax owned. So I don't know. Maybe if you have Jacob Vrana, you want to drop him as a free agent and sign Ryan Carpenter. I don't know about that, but
no, I would not. I would not agree to that. I'm excited about Ryan Carpenter, but not as a elite fantasy prospect.
True. All right.
So Peter, let's move on. You got back into the rink. You got to a Marlies crunch game. We talked about it last episode, the Marlies game, but you focused in on the Marlies. I want to hear about the Syracuse Crunch. The Tampa Bay Lightning are an interesting prospect team. They don't have a lot of prospects in the Crunch, do they?
All right. Yeah, well, that's interesting. Watching the first two games of the Crunch Marlies series, Syracuse really, really dominated. I went to a Syracuse game earlier in the year as well in the regular season, and they're a good team. They have an AHL veteran-laden roster, and a lot of their players throughout the course of the season were called up to Tampa Bay to fill in for all of the injuries that they had. So you've got like Corey Conacher, Yanni Gourde, Michael Bournival. These guys have all had pretty decent looks, full seasons in some cases, in the NHL, but they're all 24, 25, 27 years old. And that's a trend that pretty much carries through the roster. Eric Condra is on the second line with Ty McGinn, and they're centered by Matthew Pekka. Matthew Pekka is a prospect that I really like. I think he's a little bit underrated. He's an undersized guy. I think we've talked about him before on the show. 5'9", 178, 24 years old, but he has got an incredible commitment to work ethic, compete level. He's a great two-way player. He's a little bit underrated of a playmaker. In 9 playoff games so far, he's got 3 goals and 5 assists for 8 points. So he's a player that had a little bit of a look in the NHL last year, but at 24 years old, I think he's still got potential to crack a little bit more of a full-time NHL roster position than any of the other players we've talked about so far. They've also got Adam Ernie. He played on the third line. He's a 22-year-old, bigger player, 6 foot, 214. He's got 2 goals and 3 assists in 9 games so far. Wasn't particularly impressed with his game. I didn't really see – it was only 1 game, so it's a small sample size, of course. But his skating didn't really stand out as a strength, nor did his hockey sense. When he doesn't have the puck, he didn't really seem to know what to do or where to go. He was best served if he just went into the crease and – set up roots in the crease. The third line's also got Gabriel Dumont. He's 26 year old. He plays a strong game. He's a very aggressive forechecker. And Joel Vermeen, who is 25 years old. I believe his contract's up. And then they only had 11 forwards. Daniel Walcott and Byron Fraze composed the to 2/3 of the fourth line. So a lot of these players are going to be on expiring contracts, and they've got a plethora of young players, of prospects playing in minor leagues and in Europe that they're really going to want to incorporate across. And I think they're going to see some significant roster turnover after this season. So it looks to me like the Syracuse formula this year was have a successful AHL season, try and sell some tickets, make some money, win some games, we'll have a veteran roster we can call up and support the Lightning if we have injuries, which they did. But there's not a lot of succession planning in place in the AHL. Their blue line is a little bit more the same with veterans like Matt Taramina, Matthew Berdur, Jake Dotchin. They do have a couple of young players that are key of interest. Slater Cuckoo, of course, was a first-round pick, played a large amount of the season in the NHL with Tampa Bay. He looked okay. He was playing quite safe, I thought. He was kind of hard to notice. I was looking for him. I had to, you know, keep on looking for 65 when he on the ice, because he was just trying to play a good all-round game. Another player I was really looking for was Dominic Machine. We talked about him. I saw him play a lot with Peterborough. He was the seventh defenseman, but he took a regular shift as much as he can with 7D. He's only got one assist in nine games in the playoffs, and he only had 6 points in the regular season. But I saw him jumping up on the rush in the play. He was pinching in, getting down to the corners on plays. It's been an adjustment season for him, but I still think the upside and the potential is there. And I know we were going to talk about Marlies, but one Marlie player that we talked about on the last podcast that stood out again to me was Andreas Janssen. He had a really strong game. And since the last game that I went to, another player that was relevant for the Marlies that signed in the meantime is Swedish prospect Carl Grundström. He scored a goal in the game, a nice wraparound kind of goal, tucked it in short side from behind the net. He's big, skated pretty well. He's got a heavy shot, and he had a really good performance at the World Juniors for Canada. So that's a player that I think is fantasy relevant that you might want to put on your radar. But back to Syracuse, strong team. It's going to be a good series. They're going to go seven games, and it's going to be it's been a homer series so far, so Syracuse has the last game at home, so they look like a good bet to move on to the next round with their veteran roster.
Yeah, and they're going to meet up with the winner of Hershey or Providence, which Providence is an eighth seed, so it could be interesting, and it's wide open in the East, so look out for that. Every time you talk about the Toronto Marlies and go to a Marlies game, I'm waiting for notes about Kirby Reichel turning his game around, and because I've dropped him. I asked, I think, 3, 4, 5 episodes ago, we talked about Kirby Reichel just not really being there anymore. And I dropped him in one of my keeper leagues, Dynasty leagues. So I really hope he doesn't turn around, just for my fantasy's sake that I got rid of him. Has he turned it around?
I didn't see it.
Didn't see it? All right.
I didn't see it. I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto exposes him in the expansion draft and Las Vegas passes on him. Wow. There'll be better options.
Wow. Interesting. All right. We talked a lot about Lightning prospects. We're going to talk more Lightning prospects in segment two. But before we go to segment two, I want to tell you guys about Keeping Carlson podcast. These guys, fantasy hockey all year. There is no off time for them. They got the More Goalies board. They got how to set up a fantasy league in the off season. They have a summer series in the off season that they make sure that they got all their bases covered fantasy-wise in NHL terms. We cover all the prospects. They cover all the NHL players. You can also join their Patreon page and be a part of their Fantasy League K-Cupful. That's K-Cupful, K-K-U-P-F-L. Watch out for that. You can join that league if you become a Patreon. So go and subscribe to that podcast. They have a ton of information.
All right, we are back, and it's Dauber Prospect Radio. I'm Peter Harling, and this is Paul Zwanbag. Right now, we're going to keep on talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning prospects. They got a whole bunch of kids playing in the Memorial Cup and across the ocean and the World Cup. So, Paul, let's start with the World Cup. And one of their top prospects looked really good playing for the Bolts this season, Braden Point. What can you tell us about how he's playing with Canada?
He's having a pretty good tournament. And Peter, it's World Championships, not World Cup. The World Cup plays in like the training camp or whatever, like last year, every 4 years. Stupid new World Cup and mixing it up with World Championships. Anyways, it's the World Championships, Peter.
I feel shame.
It's okay. We'll get over it. It is confusing. World Cup, World Champion. Why can't it just be one tournament? Anyways, one tournament. Braden Point's having a pretty good tournament, 5 points in 7 games. He's playing with Travis Konecny and Mitch Marner as a fourth line. That's a pretty good fourth line, Peter.
That's an amazing. It's kind of an embarrassment of riches, isn't it?
It is, and that's why Canada finished first in their Group B standings, and the quarterfinals will begin on the 18th. You can follow on my Twitter. I post schedules and scores of all the IHF World Championship information. But Braden Point has a plus six in his 7 games, so he's not only putting the puck in the net with 4 goals, 1 assist, but he's also got that plus minus. I know plus minus isn't a big deal, but I really enjoy watching the World Championships and seeing what these young guys do and if they're going to keep the momentum into the offseason and then into next season, because Braden Point could be one of those guys that goes off for the Lightning next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Stamkos injury really opened the door for him this year, and he walked right through it and carved himself out a role. Arguably the Tampa Bay Lightning's top prospect outside of the NHL could be the Goose, Nikita Gusev. He's playing with Russia. What's the story with Gusev in the World Championship?
He's got 10 points in 7 games played. He's sharing the ice with another Tampa Bay Lightning prospect, Kucherov. He does not play in full-time minutes with him, but he shares the ice with Kucherov, Artemi Panarin, recently Golden Knight signed Vadim Shipachyov, who we also have a profile on Dobber Prospects that I just recently did, Peter. So you can find Vadim Shipachyov there and find out what kind of player he is. But Gusev, he's going to be in the KHL for a couple more years. I'm pretty sure he's signed for 2 more years. We might have to look further into that, and maybe he will come over a little bit earlier. But Gusev is one of those long-term Russian KHL players that isn't going to come to the NHL for a few more years. So Gusev, yeah, he's having a great World Championships, but we wish he could come to the NHL next year, and he probably would make the Lightning out of training camp, but I don't think he's coming. He'll be a few years away still.
If he came across to North America, I don't think there's any question he would make the roster, and he would have an Artemi Panarin type impact. He'd be a blue chip prospect right out of the gate. I'm not sure how much term he has left on his contract. I know it's at least 1 year. If someone out there knows, they can go ahead and shoot us a message on Twitter, DPR_show. Let us know, and we'll retweet it and let everyone know. Yeah, he and Shipachyov, not sure how to pronounce his name yet. Those two players have really looked great for Russia. One more player of the Tampa Bay Lightning playing over there that I wanted to talk about is a little less known player, Tanner Richard. What can you tell me about him?
There's not much to go on with Tanner Richard. I don't think he's going to be a huge fantasy prospect. I don't think he's going to light up the score sheets in the NHL, but he's having a decent tournament for Swiss. The Swiss finished second in Group B behind Canada, so they are having a pretty good tournament, and Tanner Richard is one of those guys that can set up goals. He's got 4 assists, 4 points, no goals, so he's not scoring a lot, but he's getting some penalty minutes, which you don't want in the World Championship because it's a short tournament and penalty minutes are not good for you. But in fantasy wise, he might be a penalty minute guy that maybe a third line, fourth line guy that ends up being with the Lightning. So I wouldn't put him on your radar. Yes, he's there. He's playing with Swiss. The Swiss don't have a lot of big name guys, so they kind of play a team game. And I don't think it's going to translate much to the NHL. But Tanner Richard definitely is a Tampa Bay Lightning prospect.
All right, so let's shift gears from the World Championship and let's talk about a couple players playing in the CHL still. The Tampa Bay Lightning still have a significant number of players out of all the NHL teams. They probably have the most. And the first player I think we should talk about is Taylor Radish. We've given his brother a lot of lip service on this show. He's an undrafted, unrestricted, overage free agent. But Taylor Radish was a 2016 draft pick by the Lightning, second round, I believe it was. And he's just been tearing up the OHL this year. He's right at the top of the league in scoring in the regular season. He was leading the league in scoring heading into the World Juniors. Made Team Canada, wasn't even on the radar to start the season. Looked really good playing for Team OHL in the Soviet series. It's a two-game series that six games, two games in the O. So in the O, he had, I think, two goals in two games. So he needed to score, and he did. Made Team Canada, looked good playing there. He's just been excellent all season long. My concern with him, projecting him to the NHL in your fantasy roster, is his skating and hockey sense might not be at the NHL level. It's really hard to tell because he plays on a line with all-stars, with the Erie Otters, guys like Strom and DeBrincat, Warren Fogle, Anthony Cirelli. They're just an all-star roster. So it'll be interesting to see how he transitions to pro. He'll have another year to come back to Erie, probably get traded. Certainly a player that you want to put on your radar, but it's only a small red flag, but it is a red flag nonetheless. So that's a little quick thought on Taylor Radish.
Yeah, he just recently signed his entry-level contract, so they're rewarding him for his really good OHL season.
Yeah, like I said, it's a small red flag. He will absolutely turn pro, and he'll absolutely play in the AHL when he's aged out of junior. I don't think he'll be able to make the jump to the NHL, especially, you know, just look at all the prospects Tampa has, and they're a really good team. So you'll have to have a little bit of patience with him, but it could be well worth it.
And staying with the Erie Otters, they also have Anthony Cirelli.
Yeah, he's turning into a bit of a Tyler Bertuzzi determining a Mr. Clutch reputation. So this the story on this guy is remarkable. He was an undrafted OHL prospect. He walked in to Oshawa Generals training camp on a tryout, made the team as a rookie. That was the year that Oshawa won the Memorial Cup. He scored the overtime game-winning goal to win the Generals the Memorial Cup. He was a runner-up for the Player of the Week last week. He just keeps scoring. Mr. Clutch, he's a player that made Team Canada as well, and he played some pretty clutch games for Canada at the World Juniors and scored some big goals there as well. I don't think there's much question that he is going to project to the NHL, but I don't see him in a top six role once he arrives. It's more of a middle six kind of guy.
Yeah, I would consider him like a cheap Jordan Eberle. Like he's got that clutch potential. He plays in big games. Eberle didn't really show it this year in the NHL playoffs. He kind of disappeared, but I think Anthony Cirelli has got that clutch potential.
Yeah, and fans will love him if he doesn't earn a $6 million contract out of his entry-level deal. If he has a nice, reasonable contract, the fans will love him. And his fantasy value, if you're in a cap league, will stay commensurate with his performance on the ice too, because you might have a hard time getting good return on your trade value with a guy like Jordan Eberle. But yeah, that's a good comparison.
All right, and one more guy from the Erie Otters, Eric Cernak.
Yeah, so this is the prospect that Tampa acquired from Los Angeles in the Ben Bishop trade. Not sure what the fantasy value on this player is going to be. His offensive upside is pretty low. If you're in like the Keeping Carlson Show would say, a bangers and mash type league, he'd be good there, because I think he's a defensive defenseman. He's a big guy. I don't think he'll earn you a lot of penalty minutes, but he should be able to rack up hits and block shots. And if he makes Tampa Bay, they're a pretty dynamic offensive team. So he'll have a good plus minus. And he might be able to, you know, at least pile on a couple secondary assists as well. So he would be a depth defenseman. And when he makes it, of course, he'll be on his ELC. So he'll have a nice cheap contract to make his hits and blocks categories worthwhile.
Yeah, and he's not going to be looked at to be an offensive juggernaut because they got Victor Hedman there. So Cernak won't need to fill any big shoes like that.
That's right.
All right, let's go to the WHL. St. John's? All right, let's go to St. John's. They won the QMJHL Championship, the President's Cup. Let's go with Imama?
Yeah, Boko and Mama. Here's a player that I really like. He's a Tampa Bay later round draft pick. He was pretty much a goon. He's like the toughest guy in the QMJHL for sure. He is the reigning heavyweight champion there. Probably the CHL. I don't think there's anyone in the CHL that wants to get in a fight with Boko and Mama. So he went back for his overage year. He had a really good training camp with Tampa Bay. He made it into a preseason game, and he scored a goal. So Tampa Bay then, a few days after, they sent him back to junior, and I'm pretty sure they sent him with the mandate, like, look, we know you can fight, and that's great. That'll be really valuable, but you're not going to make it in the NHL as a fighter. You've got to be able to skate. That's been a knock on his game, and you got to be able to score. You know, you got to be more than just a fighter, because that role doesn't exist anymore. So he went back to the Q. He had himself a 40 goal season, 40 plus goals. He's right in there with playoff scoring leaders on St. John's as well. Keep in mind, St. John's keeps winning their series in four. I think three of the four series they played were sweeps, including the finals. So he hasn't had a lot of games played in the playoffs to rack up a lot of points. None of the St. John's players have, and they could be the team to beat in the dub. But I've been really impressed with Mama's ability to score. Sure, of course, he's an overager playing in junior, so you would expect him to have a little bit more offensive upside than, you know, 16 and 17-year-olds. So next year he'll play for Syracuse, I'm sure, and he's got the ability to make it to the NHL on the fourth line. And when he does, he's obviously not going to score you 40 goals. He might score 10 all year, but you sure can count on him to provide you with a boatload of hits and a boatload of penalty minutes. He'll be like a forward version of Radko Gudas, and he'll be on the cheap, so that's also very good.
Excellent. And St. John has plethora of top scoring talent, and Matthew Joseph might be at the top of that list. Give us a few more notes on Matthew Joseph.
Yeah, he looked great for Team Canada at the World Juniors as well. Again, his stats are good in the playoffs, but limited by games played because they just keep sweeping their series. He's a player that has pro offensive top six upside as well. I'm really looking forward to seeing a little bit more of him playing in the Memorial Cup, and maybe hearing what Jeff Merrick has to say about him.
Excellent. And we are going to talk more about the Memorial Cup with Jeff Merrick. I just want to give the four teams that are going to be playing in the Memorial Cup. Seattle Thunderbirds are going to represent the WHL. The OHL will be represented by the Erie Otters, like we said. The Q, the St. John Sea Dogs, which we covered, and then the host Windsor Spitfires are going to be the big time underdogs. So it should be interesting to hear Jeff Merrick's take on those teams.
Yeah, there's a couple draft eligible players in the Memorial Cup as well. Not as many as in previous years, though. But you might want to make sure you're looking for Gabriel Velarde from host Windsor. Ivan Lodnia off of Erie are two players that stand out. And then, of course, again, for all of your entry draft player prospect analysis, you're going to want to follow Steve Cornianus on Twitter, the draft analyst. Check out his blog, The Draft Analyst, and his podcast as well. He has a weekly podcast that he does that covers off several draft eligible prospects per year. I would also strongly recommend that you look him up and subscribe to his YouTube page. He does a really nice job of making highlight reel collages for draft eligible players. So whoever your favorite NHL team ends up drafting, you can find a highlight reel clip of them on the Draft Analyst YouTube page. Or if you have a particular player that you're thinking about drafting for your fantasy league and you want to get your own video clip viewings of what he looks like in junior, Draft Analyst is the place you want to go. Check out his blog, subscribe to his podcast on iTunes, give him a 5-star review. He does great work. All right, we're going to take a break, Paul. When we come back, I'm going to have a chat with Sportsnet's Jeff Merrick, and we are going to talk all things Memorial Cup. you let me violate you. You let me desecrate you. We're back on Dauber Prospects Radio. I'm Peter Harling, and my co-host is Paul Zamboeg. And right now, we are going to be joined by Sportsnet's host, Jeff Merrick, former Leafs Lunch host, former iDesk Hockey Night in Canada host, and and the guy that buried Harold Ballard. Welcome to the show,
Jeff. Yeah, all those, yeah, thanks, dude. All those things are true. It's funny that you referenced the iDesk as well. One of my most interesting moments in the history of my broadcast career. I was walking through the atrium on CBC with Scott Morrison, and this guy just like was looking like a tourist, walking through the atrium, sort of staring at stuff and looking at all the big pictures. Hey, there's a big picture of Matt Galloway. Hey, there's a big picture of George Stambopoulos. He points to me from across the atrium and goes, "Hey, iDesk, how you doing?" Not like, "Hey, it's Jeff Merrick from the iDesk. Hey, look, it's Hall of Famer Scott Morrison." No, I'm reduced to being a desk. "Hey, iDesk, how you doing?" It's a real sort of reality check, Peter, for where your career's at. "Hey, iDesk." That'll always resonate with me.
The definition in the dictionary for infamy is that story right there, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. No kidding.
All right. Well, you've moved on to bigger and better things now. You're part of Dauber Prospect podcast, so it's all downhill from here, I'm afraid.
This is the zenith of my career. This is the Everest that I've now climbed.
The crescendo.
Yeah, that's right. There'll be some pink paper in the fax machine waiting for me on Monday morning. What is a fax machine? What is a fax machine, everyone listening is asking right now?
That's right. I had my stepdaughter ask me that question the other day. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Memorial Cup. You're going to be hosting it for Sportsnet. It starts this weekend. It's going to be a big deal. I don't even know where to start. Let's talk about probably the biggest prospect, maybe in the entire tournament, Thomas Chabot. He's an Ottawa Senators prospect. He looked dynamite at the World Juniors. He's looked dynamite in the playoffs, MVP for St. John's. So our podcast is kind of dedicated to fantasy hockey. So there's a lot of guys out there who have been stashing Thomas Chabot in their prospect bench. What would you say the chances are that he's going full-time in the NHL next year? And what kind of impact will he have if he makes it?
Yeah, probably pretty good. I mean, there's a good shot. I mean, there are just some guys, Peter, and I mean, you see them, your audience sees them as well. There's just some guys you watch in junior hockey and you say to yourself, he's outgrown the junior game. And that's Thomas Chabot. And you're right. We saw it over Christmas at the U20 World Junior Championships. We're seeing it with the St. John Sea Dogs right now. I mean, this guy plays, I think the fewest minutes I've seen him play in a game is like 27. Normally he's up around 30 minutes a game, him and Chase Stewart of the pair that Danny Flynn uses as their 1-2 combo. He can do so many different things. He can anchor your power play. He can get the puck out of the zone, either by skating, either by passing. I mean, when you look at what you want a defenseman to do in 2017, you know, he checks a lot of boxes. The puck goes in and then the puck goes out. That's as simple a game as Thomas Chabot can play. And when he's on the ice, it's almost an unfair advantage. I mean, this guy, if I'm an Ottawa Senators fan, I'm feeling pretty good about a couple of prospects. I'm sure you've talked plenty about Colin White. I think Ben Harper is going to be knocking at the door for this blue line probably sooner than later as well. But if you're looking for someone to jump in, and I'm not saying he's going to have that Zach Werenski impact because, you know, he's not going to have that spot with the Ottawa Senators. But I think most people, you know, fully expect Thomas Chabot to at least challenge for a position on that Ottawa Senators blue line as early as next season. It wouldn't surprise me to see him start as a bottom pairing defenseman and then work his way up.
Yeah. It almost looks like the Norris Trophy could be setting up permanent residence in Ottawa for like the next decade or so, right?
Right. Yeah, I know. It's so weird too, because you know, Charlie McAvoy makes some noise there with the Boston Bruins, and you know, the Bruins, even going back to Eddie Shore, have always had, you know, that big horse blue liner, whether it's Bobby Orr, Brad Park. You can make the argument for Gordon Cluzak, although knee injuries cut him short, to Ray Bourque, to Zdeno Chara, and now we're throwing Charlie McAvoy in that conversation. But you're right. It looks like, you know, the Norris Trophy. How about this? We'll put it this way. The Norris Trophy will probably stay in the East for a long time. How's that?
Yeah, that works. There'll be some other people standing up with their hand up saying, "What about me?" But I think that's the front of the queue. So another player on St. John's.
Know, just as an aside too. When you look at St. John and mention Thomas Chabot, when you see Chabot out there, he'll be paired with Chase Stewart. Bokanji Amama, for those of you that like the game a little bit rougher, Bokanji Amama is probably the toughest player in the entire CHL. But if you talk to a lot of guys, maybe the best pure fighter is Chase Stewart. This guy doesn't do it very often, but when he does, it's frightening. So we'll see what happens if anybody wants to, if anyone wants to step out on the St. John Sea Dogs here. So they probably got the two toughest players in the entire tournament.
We talked about Amama earlier in the segment. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's like the forward version of Radko Gudas for fantasy hockey.
Oh, you know what? You know what's interesting about him? I mean, and Tampa still hasn't signed him. And, you know, here's a guy that sort of, you know, turned himself into just from, you know, a rough and tumble guy who's out there as the cop on the beat to polish up the badge, you know, into someone that's, you know, that's scoring goals and is, you know, is able to play on the line with two high-end guys that are both signed to NHL teams in Matthew Highmore and Matthew Joseph. So, I mean, it's not as if, you know, I mean, he's hanging in some high-rent district as well, and he's producing points. And if you look at the guy, like, I look at him and I say, he's 25. Like, he looks like a man. Like, this is supposed to be junior hockey. And you look at Boko and you say to yourself, this guy looks like he's 20. Like, if he were Russian, everyone would be saying, okay, let's have a look at the birth certificate here. Like, this guy looks like a man. He's, like, physically ready for that next step and probably has been for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, I'm very curious about how far he can make it in pro, if he can make it to the NHL, or if he just becomes like a very serviceable AHL player. Yeah. Lots of players on St. John's. One who's not draft eligible in 2018 is top five project Joe Valeno. A lot of people across Canada and North America are going to be getting their first look at this kid. What should we be looking for? What's his calling card, his hallmark?
He'll play with Samuel Dove McFalls, who's a center for Philadelphia Flyers property. I mean, he's a high-end guy. He tries to, you can tell that the minute he gets in the offensive zone, he's always trying to create. He's a good distributor. He can finish as well. You know, he's the first player, as your audience well knows, to be granted exceptional status in the QMJHL. It's been happening in the Ontario League for a number of years, going back to John Tavares. But he's going to be in that. Like, I don't know that I put him in the conversation with Svechnikov. I don't think that he's, you know, Rasmus Dahlin. But he's that, you know, if there's going to be, man, there's so much hockey to play between now and then. If there's going to be a drop off after those two, then you probably put him into that category with, you know, the Quinn Hugheses. And that sort of that immediate after number two drop off, Bodie Wild will probably be in that group too. But as far as that group goes, he's probably the best forward in that second high group in next year's draft. Really good, high skilled player. He's playing on a stack team, so I mean right now he's playing. I think Flynn had him the last time I saw against Blainville on the left side. So he's playing third spot behind Amama and Spencer Smallman, who's playing with Nathan Noll and Julian Gauthier. So he's not getting the minutes you're going to see next year. I mean, next season for St. John, that's going to be the coming out party for Valeno. Tons of ice time as they'll graduate a lot of players to pro. So you're going to get a little bit of a taste of Joe Valeno, but next year is the real year you get a lot of big minutes for the exceptional player for the Q.
Yeah. All right, let's skip west and hit the O. Erie Otters kind of looked pretty dominant at times in their ascension to the championship. And I talked a lot about Darren Radish on our show. I can't believe he's unsigned. But it kind of neglected his brother, Taylor Radish. He's had a really strong season. He scored a lot of goals, made Team Canada when he wasn't even really on the radar at the start of the season. And I'm an Ontario guy, so I've seen him play live a couple times this year and last year. And on paper, he looks like a pro player. But when I watch him on the ice, I have a little bit of concern about maybe his hockey sense and skating. Where do you see him projecting going pro?
I see his skating that's the one area of real improvement for Radish. Like if you go back, you know, a couple of seasons ago, you're saying to yourself, yeah, sure, he's got the size, he's a 6'2 guy, he's 200 pounds, you know, he's got some hands, but he's lagging behind because he's got the bad boots. I see that as the biggest area of improvement, and that's probably why Hockey Canada sort of waved the World Junior magic wand over him. Hardworking guy. He's another, you know, I don't know what it is, but it seems like the Erie Otters is full of Or Group clients, you know, outside of Dylan Strome, it seems if everybody's with the Or Group, and you could throw Taylor Radish into that mix as well. You know, he's not a burner. Like you're not going to expect him to be, you know, Pavel Bure out there down the right side, but he gets around the ice just fine. I know what you mean about, you know, you look at the skating and he's never going to knock your socks off, but I think he gets around fine. And he's shown that he can play with some high end talent. I think the problem for a player like Taylor Radish is, I mean, you're playing behind so many guys in that Tampa pipeline. I mean, there are some, I mean, we're going to see Matthew Joseph and there's another one who's, you know, probably standing in front of a player like Taylor Radish. It's an embarrassment of riches for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, you know, you wonder if not in the short term, if Radish just ends up being sort of a victim of, you know, more than anything else, just, you know, the numbers game, because there's so many elite level prospects that Tampa has. So, I mean, great job by the scouting staff.
Indeed. Another player on Erie, I think this guy might be one of the most underrated prospects in hockey. I saw him play a lot when he was with the Frontenacs right in my backyard. Warren Fogel, yeah. won the Wayne Gretzky playoff MVP. Mr. Clutch does it all very well. Great on draws. Yeah. And Erie's dominant on the draw, right down the middle. Even on the wings, they're, you know, if they get a guy kicked out, no problem. We'll just send Warren Fogel in.
Well, that's and you know what? It's interesting. I mean, and we talk about embarrassment of riches for the Tampa Bay Lightning. How about what Carolina's boasting as well? I mean, last year, the Memorial Cup, we kept talking about all these, you know, Arizona Coyotes prospects. So have a look at, you know, what's in Carolina. We got Julian Gauthier. You got Warren Fogel as well. I first saw, not to get my Pierre McGuire on too much here, but I first saw him play. It was only one game at St. Andrews College. And St. Andrews is, you know, producing, you know, a lot of, you know, players into the NHL. More so than ever. And I know Paul McFarland quite well. We worked out the same gym in the summers, and he would rave about Warren Fogel, about how much he loves this kid. Coaches love him, so dependable. Won the Wayne Gretzky Trophy as the playoff MVP in the Ontario Hockey League. I'm with you. He's that guy that coaches have zero reservation about tapping him on the shoulder and putting him in any situation. Right? Like, when in doubt, put Fogel on the ice. And you'll probably see a lot of that at the Memorial Cup this year.
Yeah, he was one of the last players cut from Kane's camp last summer. So, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he jumps right in to Carolina's roster next year. And GM Ron Francis has done a really great job of replenishing the cupboards. When he came in, it was kind of laughable where they were at. And now they're one of the top teams with prospect depth in the NHL.
Well, they've only draft defensemen. Right from the money side, every year it's like, you know, wake up, set your watch, you know, put your pants on one leg at a time, and Carolina's drafting a defenseman. You know, it's death taxes, and Carolina takes a defenseman outside of Jeff Skinner. But yeah, they've done a really good job there. And it's funny because that's interesting, Peter, because you're the second person that I've talked to this week who says I can see Warren Fogel on the Carolina Hurricanes roster as early as next season. Because I always said to myself, yeah, you know what, a year with Charlotte probably for this kid. But you're the second person now. And just this week alone, they said, yeah, this guy's walking into the NHL next year. That's interesting.
It'll only be smart if we're right. Let's move on to the host. They got a couple of players I'm really interested in. Gabriel Vilardi, he's a top pick for this year's draft. Got to see him play quite a bit. He's a natural center. Moved out to the wing a lot with Windsor this year. They had a lot of injuries throughout the season, but they should be very well rested now, having unfortunately lost in the first round. So, assuming they're all going to hit the ground running and with lots of piss and vinegar, what are you looking for Vilardi in this tournament? Can he move his draft stock up? Is he a potential third overall?
Yeah, you know, third's a tall order. I think that's, I mean, so much depends on whether Dallas executes the pick, whether they move the pick, and who they move it to. Like, if they move it to the Buffalo Sabres, you know, they're not taking Vilardi, they're taking a defenseman. Or if, you know, if Dallas keeps the pick, then maybe you say to yourself, okay, I can see them going for a forward, but then you say to yourself, well, they could probably move down into Gabe Vilardi, Owen Tippett territory and still get that player. And move the pick up an asset along the way and allow the other team to grab a, you know, Heiskanen or grab, you know, Cale Makar or one of the other sort of high-end defensemen that we expect around that area. Vilardi's an interesting guy. You know, you mentioned the injuries with the Windsor Spitfires. He went through two this year, you know, the one that kept him out of the Ivan Hlinka and then appendicitis as well. You know, the knock, you know, has always been on Vilardi, the same we were talking about with Radish has been the skating. But I don't really see that as a problem. This guy is so aggressive on the puck along the boards, digging pucks out. He's a high school guy that plays like a grinder, if you know what I mean. Like, when I look at Vilardi, he has that skill set and that nose for the puck and that sort of determination and that work ethic. The interesting thing about Windsor, and listen, somebody was going to have to play Owen Sound in the first round, right? Somebody was going to have to play London in the first round. Unfortunately for the OHL and for the Memorial Cup, it ended up being the host of the Memorial Cup this year in the Windsor Spitfires. And even though they were up 3-1, they ended up squandering it and losing it again in a tough game 7. So yeah. It's not preferable, you know, for Rocky Thompson. What is it like? Is it 44 days, you know, between games? Am I right on that one, Peter, but for the Windsor Spitfires? But the one thing that they do have now is now that Winnipeg has cleared Logan Stanley, the entire team is healthy. So for the first time this season, the entire team is healthy. Now, you do worry about timing being off, but if you talk to a lot of players, once you get, you know, deep into the playoffs and you get to the Memorial Cup, you know, a lot of players will tell you physically they feel weaker than they should, and they haven't had a lot of time in the gym, having a lot of time to build up their strength. Well, not so for the Windsor Spitfires. They've had plenty of time to sort of regenerate and get their strength back. The only question that you do have is, you know, what's their timing going to be like? And man, do they have a tough draw in game 1 against the St. John Seahawks, who went 16-2 through the QMJHL playoffs. You know, the only two losses against a really tough out in Chicoutimi. So it's going to be a tough re-entry into junior hockey for the Windsor Spitfires. But Rocky Thompson's got his full team healthy for the first time this season.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter who they play. They're diving in the deep end right off the bat. There's no waiting into this tournament. All right, so the next guy,
To your point, it's all heavyweights this year. You're right.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. One more guy on Windsor, Mikhail Sergachev. So last year in rookie camp, I saw him playing with Montreal, and it was a rookie development game, and he was dominant against Ottawa in that game. And he was just absolutely controlling the game on both sides of the puck. He left that game with an injury, and then shortly after was cut, came back to junior, and for my money, I thought he had a disappointing season, both were for Windsor and at the and at the World Juniors. And then, you know, hoping that he can turn it all around here in the Memorial Cup. So kind of similar to Thomas Chabot, is this a player that that is going to make the jump out of junior next year? Or and if so, if people have him on their fantasy rosters, what can they be expecting from him in terms of how long they got to wait?
Here's the interesting thing about Sergachev, and you're right. I think you know, he didn't have, you know, the best possible season for Windsor this year. I mean, Windsor seemed to be a stop and start team all season long. You know, a little 3-game winning streak, 4-game losing. It almost seems that they never really got in a groove. Injuries became a big thing. The Logan Brown injury was a tough one for them all season, to say nothing of, you know, Vilardi, and then Logan Stanley as well. Like, it was a tough season for injuries for the Windsor Spitfires, and Sergachev sort of wore that. In that there were stretches where he was good and then the stretches where he wasn't. He's such an interesting guy because, you know, his panic threshold, he has this amazing panic threshold in that he doesn't. And I remember talking to one scout who said, you know, he kind of skates like he's in a rocking chair. Like, he's really taking it easy. He doesn't panic, you know, doesn't pull the pin out of the grenade and just throw a puck up the ice. Like, he doesn't waste it a whole lot. And that for some people can make it look like he's indifferent to the play, when really he's not. He's just comfortable playing hockey and comfortable playing defense. The question I have about Sergachev is more really a question about the Montreal Canadiens. And that's, how are they going to be, Montreal that is, how is Montreal going to help themselves in the off season if they're going to make moves, figuring their window is still open to win the Stanley Cup? How are they going to be able to make moves and still keep Sergachev? Because that's the name that everybody asks for when Mark Bergevin starts talking trade. You know, it's a tough one. If they hang on to him, you know, it seems that Nathan Beaulieu seems to be one of the odd men out there, although I think they want to fill that with more of a veteran player. So as a bottom pairing guy, I think there's probably a chance that Sergachev makes the team, but I think the preference for Mark Bergevin is to not to be breaking in any rookies, specifically on the blue line. So, you know, don't be surprised if Sergachev doesn't start the season with the Habs next year.
All right. And what was his, do you know off the top of your head, if he's a late birthday, is he aged out of junior now? Could he play in the AHL next year?
Good question.
I can't remember.
He's, what is it, June 98, I want to say, I think.
Yeah, I think he'd have another year of junior,
I
right?
I I'm not 100% sure on his birthday, so I apologize. Yeah, me neither. I think he's June 98, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But anyways, that'll be interesting. Let's move on to the West. We're pressed for time here. Seattle.
Sure.
I'm an East guy. I don't get to see a whole lot of the Dub. So the two players that jump out, I think we need to talk about. Well, Stankowski would be fun. But for fantasy purposes.
He's been great. Stankowski's been fantastic for Seattle. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I know. Who is this kid, right? But Matt Barzal and Ethan Bear. Those are the guys that fantasy players want to know about. Matt Barzal, yeah. I think you recently said he's the most prolific player in junior. He's going pro, right? Like there's no question about it. He's NHL bound.
This guy's going pro as soon as next season. Wonderfully creative. I mean, we've been talking about. Well, I mean, scouts have been talking about Matthew Barzal going back to the Brick Tournament in Edmonton, where he just lit it up, and I was like, holy smokes, this kid is next level. But yeah, no, this guy, like we talked about Shabbat having that pro poise and being ready for that next step and having outgrown junior hockey. Say the same thing about Matthew Barzal. He's there. He's done. You could have made some argument that said, you know, he's a bubble player to make it into the NHL this year. But after the season he's had with Seattle, there's no doubt in my mind. This guy starts with the Islanders next year.
Yeah, it's
and
not
a
like
nice,
they,
and a
they
nice,
couldn't
and
use
a,
that.
On a nice, on a, yeah, on a nice line with Ryan Graf and Keegan Kolesar, which is, you know, as much as we talk about, you know, some of the other top lines in the tournament, that may be the best one. And I'm with you. Like, I've only seen Seattle, I guess, four times this year. Like, I don't watch them a ton. Right. But if you talk to anyone out there, and every time I talked to some guys in Everett during that series, and, you know, it's like, oh my God, the team's a buzzsaw. I talked to some people in Kelowna in that series. Oh my God, this team's a buzzsaw. Like, this is a really dynamic team. And, you know, one that's got a great top six and good, great, you know, penalty killer and like Donovan Newells, and a really nice player with Nick Ehlers' cousin there, Alexander True, who just ends up scoring huge goals, as we saw most recently, to eliminate Regina. So there's a whole lot of interest in when it comes to Seattle Thunderbirds.
Yeah, Ethan Bear is another one. It sounds like he's playing through a foot injury, but the Edmonton Oilers could have themselves a real good kid here. Eh? He was looked good all playoffs. He's got 26 points in 17 games, though. I look him up on Elite Prospects right now. That seems to me like a pretty fantasy relevant player. He projects to the NHL sooner than later too.
Yeah. Although, I mean, we'll see what Edmonton does with their blue line. I mean, this guy's got pro player written all over him. They use him in, you know, every single situation. He's a top pairing guy, logs the big minutes despite the injury. A really nice story too. We're hoping to get more into his background growing up on a Cree reserve just about a couple hours outside of Regina. Real great story. So looking forward to seeing him live and in person, because, I mean, listen, Thomas Chabot, when it comes to the blue line in this tournament, is the class of the tournament, period. But it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, one of the more talked about players after Chabot in the blue line turns out to be Ethan Bear. This guy's legit. He comes by it legitimately. And, you know, when you look at Edmonton, you say to yourself, wait a minute, they got this guy in the fifth round? And you say to yourself, you know, this could be one of those, like, you know, we took a long shot on this guy, or, well, you know, we took a gamble on him and it's paid off. He could be one of the nice sort of surprise mid-round picks from the draft of 2015.
Those are the feel-good stories, aren't they?
Always are, right?
Yeah.
Gives everybody hope.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you don't get drafted, that doesn't mean anything. There's a long list of Hall of Fame players who were never drafted. Last question for you, Jeff, and then I'll let you go if that's all right.
Yeah.
The NHL draft coming up. I'm in a lot of fantasy leagues, and all the time I see it in prospect drafts where guys are going off of whatever happened at the NHL draft. So they're picking Logan Stanley in the first round of their fantasy draft. Which probably is not a good decision. So, in your opinion, you maybe give me like one player who might get drafted a little bit lower at the NHL draft, but you should draft sooner than later in your fantasy draft, and maybe a guy who could be like a first round Logan Stanley type player that doesn't really have any business on your fantasy draft list.
I have a lot of questions about a player like Michael Rasmussen of Tri-City. At the prospects game, he looked fine. You know, big guy getting around the ice, okay. But when you look at the production, I mean, there's a whole lot of power play there and not a ton of five-on-five. He does look like an NHLer. This is almost a Lawson Crouse argument all over again. So, I mean, he will go in the first round. I would be a little bit, I'd make sure that I take a close look at Michael Rasmussen if I'm picking him. And as far as a guy that, you may steal, would you consider Robert Thomas to be a gamble? I mean, I default to that. I mean, he looks to me and he plays to me a whole lot like Bo Horvat. You know, and I don't know that he ends up, scoring a ton right away in the NHL, but eventually he works his way into a spot where he's one of your top six guys and he's a real important player. And he comes from a forward hockey factory in London. So those are just the two off the top of my brain. I have a lot of time for Robert Thomas. So if you're looking for someone, I don't know if you're looking for someone late first round, my guy there would be Robert Thomas for London Knights.
Yeah, I'm looking at your list right now. You have him ranked 25th on your last rankings, if that's if I'm looking at
that's
the right list.
Go
I had him.
Yeah, I got one more ranking coming out, and trust me, he's going up.
Oh yeah? Yep. Right on. When's that due?
I'm hoping to put it to bed sometime this weekend now that I'm just checked in here in Windsor and I have more time to dedicate to it.
All right. All right, Jeff Merrick, thank you very much for your time and coming on our show. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners will really enjoy the interview as well and gleaned a whole lot of really great information. And like I said before, I could listen and talk hockey with you all the live long day, but other needs call for our attention. So maybe we'll see you at the draft. We'll be there. Yep. We'll be getting all kinds of, not broadcasting live, but getting interviews and comments from players and media and GMs alike. So we'll look for you there, buddy, and maybe I'll buy you a beer.
I love it. Peter, thanks so much for calling me today. Much appreciated, and best to your co-host, Paul, as well. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Thank you very much.
Really can't thank Jeff Merrick enough for coming on our podcast this week to talk Memorial Cup. Really exciting stuff coming this coming weekend. We also can't forget to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well and giving us a review. If you haven't done a review yet, please take a few seconds to rate and review us so we can get more guests like Jeff Merrick. You wouldn't believe how much a few great reviews will do for our listenership as well. Please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @DPR_show. You can also follow our personal accounts at Zwambag, Zwambag, and Peter's at @PHarling, PHARLING. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.